This is Radhara Sudha Nidhi Guna Mahima, June 15th, 2010. And we're discussing, well, we're actually starting a new verse today. This, what are we doing? Verse 30 from Radhara Sudha Nidhi, which we started a couple days ago, some other verses. And this particular verse is about Radharani, how she looks and how she feels and what Krishna experiences and feels when Radharani goes to Nanda Bhavan, Nandagram, every morning. Radharani goes every morning from her mother's house in Barsana or her mother-in-law's house in Yavat. She goes every morning, she walks with a group of her sakis and kinkaris, maidservants, and they walk there, and then they to cook Krishna's breakfast. And there's a whole story behind that. That briefly, that Radharani, when she is told in two different ways, and one in Gopal Tapani Upanishad, which is one of the most dear Upanishads to the Vaishnavas, because it's especially about Gopal, Krishna, and his servants, his devotees, and also the gopis. And there's one lila, or pastime, in there with a great rishi named Durvasa Muni. But there's another pastime told that Durvasa Muni came to Barsana to visit Radharani, to visit her father, King Brishabhanu Maharaj, and his wife, Kirtida. And Radharani was playing, as young girls do, she was in her childhood then, and they were playing house, like girls do. Radharani and some Vishakha Lalita and Rupa Mandri and their, whatever her little girlfriends, they were like 7, 8 years old. And they were, had 6, 5, I don't know, whatever, small. And they were making paratas. No. They were making, you know, gulab jamuns and ladus and puris, all out of mud. Mitti? Mitti ka ladu, mitti ka puri, mitti ka this. And they were saying, oh, look at my nice puris. And like, it's a fantasy world. Children, they create their own fantasy worlds. And of course, adults do also. The only difference between the fantasy world of a child is that we adults think it's fantasy. Oh, he's just make-believe something he's doing. And then the only difference between a child's so-called make-believe play and fantasy and adults' so-called real life is that we think his child's play is fantasy, but we think our fantasy is reality. Our so-called reality is also a fantasy because it's based on illusion. It's make-believe. We make up a construct, we create a construct, and we live within it. I am such and such, I represent such and such, and then we put ourselves inside that concept and we move around in that. And it's all false identity, completely separated and distinct from the Atma. No reality, no bearing or connection with God or transcendence or the ultimate essence of the living entity, which is transcendental. So if adults are living in this whole Delhi is a fantasy. It's like Disney World, Delhi World. Yeah, you go, they have Disney World and Mickey Mouse and all that. There's so many Mickey Mouses in Delhi. So many Daffy Ducks and Mickey Mouses running around Delhi. In every city, New York also. I'm not picking on Delhi. New York has many Mickey Mouses. The whole world is bamboozled. So they're making mud pies and puris and ladus. And Durvasa Muni comes walking by, and they're all on the side of the footpath leading up to the palace, and they're playing together under some trees in the shade. And Durvasa Muni says, "Oh, Lali." And they say, "Oh, Dhanavad, Dhanavad Maharaj." They're the little kids. Dhanavad Maharaj, Dhanavad. Maharaj ki jai ho. Maharaj ki jai ho, like a Hindi movie. Maharaj ki jai ho. And he said, "Oh, Lali, what are you doing?" "Oh, we're cooking nice food, very nice, you know. And we're making ladus and puris. Would you like some?" He said, "No, I'm full. I'm quite full." No. And Radharani said, no, I made this with my own hands. It's very nice. It has some butter inside and basin and some akrod and kishmish. Very, very nice. And Radharani said, yes, it looks very nice. But, you know, really, I'm quite full, you know. No, you take. So Radharani, she kind of, you know, did a little jadu. little jadu on him. She's like, you know, Krishna Shakti. So he was so overwhelmed by her beauty and the sweetness of her petition and her presence that he said, all right, he took the ladu and he ate it. The clay ladu. And then maybe it just at that moment, by Yogamaya's mercy, it turned into a real ladu. I mean, anything's possible in the land of divinity. And he said, oh, this is very good. You're a very, very good cook. I want to give you a blessing. I want to give you benediction, blessing. From this day forward, you will be known as Amrit, Amrit Pani. In Sanskrit, Pani means hot. You say hot, hand, hot. So not like water, you say Pani. Maybe it's Pani, but that's Pani. Yours is long A, Pani. Hindi is Pani, long A. Yeah, well, Pani is short A. Pani in Sanskrit means hand. It's Amrit Pani. Nectar hands. You'll be, from this day forward, you'll be for giving me such a wonderful ladu. This is the best ladu, the sweetest, the smoothest, the richest, the nicest ladu I've ever had. And I'm going to bless you that whatever you cook with your hand will be like Amrit, be like nectar. Which means it will be very tasty, and anyone who eats this cooking will be very satisfied and fulfilled, and they'll become immortal. And they will always be healthy and free from any sicknesses. That's quite a powerful boon. So then Radharani just laughed, ha ha ha, you know, because they're just children, they don't know what's he talking about, is that Amrit Pani. Anyway, they went back to making their mud ladus, and okay, thanks, and they, you know. So then, shortly afterwards, the word got around that her different girlfriends started gossiping, and as usual, girls do. And they went home to their mothers and said, oh, you know what happened today, Mom? Guess what? And Radharani forgot about it. She didn't know. Oh, so what, this guy? These yogis are always doing these ashirvad and all this stuff. So ashirvad. So her girlfriends, they went home and they told their mothers, oh, what happened today? Oh, we were playing with Radharani. We were cooking and making nice mud ladus and pies and everything. And you know who came? Who came to Barsana? To Vasumuni. Acha. And to Vasumuni. His ashram is across the Yamuna from Mathura. No, he came to visit Vrishamana Maharaj. Acha. What happened? Kya hua? And then, well, he saw us cooking and Radharani offered him a mud ladu. And he ate it. Huh? He ate it. Yeah. And then he blessed Radharani. He said, Amrit Pani Bhavatu. That you will have, I bless you, you will have a nectar hand. And she anything she cooks will be like nectar, and a person will live forever and be free from all sickness. Acha, really? Yeah. So then that lady went, you know, that afternoon, she went to Nandagram to meet Yashoda Mayi. And she said, Yashoda, you should hear, do you know what happened to Brishabhanu's daughter? No, do tell. What happened? Well, yesterday, Durvasamuni came to visit Brishabhanu. And Yashoda said, yeah, I know, he came here last week. He's always going around getting rotis and stuff. He's always going around doing madhukari and he stopped at our house last week. Now he's hitting up Vrishabhanu Maharaj. So what happened? Well, Radharani got this blessing. Oh, really? Radharani got this blessing? Anything she cooks? That's very interesting. So then, now, she kept that in her mind. She says, this is very nice, but she's like a little kid, you know. So then Radharani grew up some few years and she was married to someone named Ayan Ghosh. Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu means always angry. Good name for a husband. always angry pati. So Radharani was married to always angry Abhimanyu. And then one day, Yashoda met with Radharani's mother-in-law, Jatila. She said, listen, my son is growing up now, and he's taking out the cows, and I heard that your daughter-in-law is Amritpani. She has this special benediction. She can make everything like nectar. And I would like, could your daughter come every morning and cook breakfast for my son before he goes for Gocharan Leela and takes out the cows to pasture in Govardhan and other places in Braj? What? My daughter-in-law is married to my son. This is unheard of. This is not Vedic. A married woman doesn't go cook the breakfast in another man's house. At least in those days. I don't know about nowadays. A little bit. There's no anything. There's no rules now these days. In those days, it was like, it's a breach of law. It's immoral. It's unethical. It's against the codes of Dharma. It just isn't done. And she said, then Yashoda said, well, I will make it profitable for you. And she said, it's okay, you don't have to worry. I'm there, and Rohini Ma is there, and Dao, Balaram, Nanda Baba, and you can send some other elderly people to chaperone or be with your... Please, if you can do this. And of course, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj were the king and queen, ruling king and queen of the entire Braj Mandal. And Jatila, she was not much of a queen. In fact, they had such a puny house. Abhimanyu and his mother, Jatila, we don't hear about any husband. I know he just doesn't have much. We don't hear about the husband of Jatila. And her daughter, Kutila, was quite an interesting family. The mother's name was Jat. You know what Jat is? You know, hair goes like, you know, sticky hair sticking. Her name was Jatila. So she had a terrible hairdo. Then her daughter's name was Kutila, and Kutila, I think, means crooked. So she had kinky hair. She had kinky hair, like afro or so. Not kinky, you know, kinky. So she had really weird hair. Now, that was her daughter. And she had two sons. Now, one son was Abhimanyu. We heard his glories. And now the other son's name was Durmada. Durmada. Now, Durmada can mean, mada means intoxicated or crazy. And dura means, I don't know, excessively, because dura means excessive. It means far, it means distant, but dura means, what does it mean? What other meanings? Highest. So he's, Durmada means he's the topmost point of intoxication. So now, Jatila says, all right, I will let her come and cook. But she has to immediately come back, because she has to go to Surya Kund to do Surya Puja every day, because she's worshipping Surya, and by the blessings of Surya, my son is getting good health, and things are coming nicely, and he's their family deity, Surya, so she has to be back in time to go every day for Surya Puja. Yes, don't worry. So Radharani started coming every day to cook Krishna's breakfast. And this is the time when Krishna would sit down with his friends, his father, Nanda Maharaj, and his uncle's mama? Chacha. His father's brother? Chacha. His chachas. Many chachas. His father, Nanda Maharaj, and Upananda, his uncle, and Abhinanda, and Sunanda, etc. They would be engaged elsewhere. Most of the elderly men, the men were outside arranging for the day's functions of the village and the community, and somebody managing the animals and many things. So mostly it was just the ladies and mothers, Balaram's mother Rohini and Yashoda, and a select handful of Krishna's friends who would all eat breakfast together. Sridhama, Radharani's brother, Krishna does eat breakfast every morning with Radharani's older brother, because he wants to find out about Radharani. What do you think they talk about at breakfast? Radharani. At least Sridhar and Krishna. And then he has one brahmana named Madho Mangal, who is the son of Sandi Panimuni from Ujjain. Madho Mangal, he's a brahmana. He does puja in Nanda Maharaj's house. Nanda Maharaj has a deity of Lakshmi Narayan and a Sringadev. He's posing as a Vaishnava. And he's worshipping. And then Krishna every day, he eats prasadam from Lord Narayan. So some people, they don't know these shastras, but the Vishnu worshippers can say, see, this proves that Vishnu is higher than Krishna. they don't know these intimate points. But so even Krishna doesn't even eat bhog. So now this particular verse is describing that what goes on at that. A little bit of that is a little view into that whole. This is, I give something of the setting and the characters. There's Krishna. There's kind of a mixture of personalities here who are representing different relationships of love with Krishna. He's with his friends, and they're in a mood or a bhav, a loving sentiment of sakya. Sakya ras means friendship. His bosom buddies, and his elder brother, Dalji Balaram, is on sitting on his right hand side, and Sridham is on his left hand side, and opposite Krishna is Madho Mangal. So he can. Madho Mangal makes faces to know at Krishna, and does make goes, oh. So Krishna, like some people watch television when they eat. they have TV dinners, or even have some in America. They have something called TV dinners. It's something you put in the oven. You get this thing, that thing, and you take it out, and it's got a tray on it. It cooks with a tray, and you take it out. And they have a TV tray, like a little folding table. You sit on the couch. You sit like this. It's an aluminum tray. It's got like potatoes and vegetables and other unmentionable things. And you put it at 350 for 20 minutes and take it out, and it's got apple pie and all this, American stuff. And it's real fast. You put it in the oven, 350. You just run it in advertising, and go, ding, okay. This was 40 years ago in America. When we were kids, we watched the cartoons. But Krishna didn't have television, he had Madho Mangal. Television's only two-dimensional. It's only two dimensions, length and width. But Madho Mangal is four dimensions. And actually five dimensions. Because one dimension is called the unpredictable dimension. And Heisenberg, in physics, it's called the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. If you study physics. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. When you look in the electron microscope at the minutest form of matter, you will see atoms and you will see subatomic particles. And they're moving at such a high rate of speed that you don't know, are you seeing a solid particle, or are you seeing a wave? Is it a wave that you're seeing, or are you seeing a particle? So is it a wave or is it a solid particle? Well, the conclusion is, it's a wavicle. It's not a particle, it's not a wave, it's a wavicle. Which means, he said, it's really uncertain. Even when you look at the atom, in other words, he said, we don't really know what's going on there. So he made a principle, he's a famous German scientist, it's in every physics book in the world. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. I said, well, that's real science. He doesn't really know what's going on. Well, nobody else does either. So this is four dimensions. So the fifth dimension is the unknown factor, the unpredictable. Three dimensions is length, width, and depth. And fourth dimension is the spiritual, the consciousness. That's the fourth dimension, consciousness. And the fifth dimension is the unpredictable. We don't know what he's going to do next. And Mother Mongol's like that. You know, he's eating. He's, oh, look, look, Krishna, there's a big monkey outside hanging upside down on his tail. He's making face. Oh, yeah, that's right. Then he reaches over and grabs all Krishna's glove jewels. Krishna has four or five glove jewels. He's saving them to eat. And he's going to eat his dal and his rice, and he's going to eat these four glove jewels. And then everyone's looking out the window, and he goes, and he takes all four glove jewels and stuffs it in his mouth. And Krishna, hey, I don't see any monkey. Hey, where's my glove jewels? Hey, you rascal. And then he still has him like this, and a little bit, because he can't swallow four or five at one time. So Krishna goes like this. You know, I mean, these are boys. There's no laws over here. Krishna goes, he's up. And then Krishna goes like this. Because he's like this, five glove jewels in his mouth. No, no, no. Because Krishna, you stole my glove jewels. He's saying, I did not. He's got evidence. He's caught, glove jewel handed, or, red-handed. He's got red-handed. He's got a mouth full of glove jewels. Mervin! He's saying, no, I didn't. His ego is such, I didn't take them. So Krishna's, oh, yeah. He hits his cheeks like this. And when you do that, what happens? Out comes all this sugar juice. So Krishna went like this and went, psh. I mean, you have to be fast, You talk about athletes. We glorify athletes for their agility and their speed and catching a ball, jumping in the air and catching the cricket ball, take a picture, he's flying in the air, And Krishna is not, you can't do something like that. He's Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Tatrashir Vajaya Bhutir. So the Mother Mongol is entertaining Krishna because the best appetizer is laughter, and the best digester is not Eno salts or Alka-Seltzer or Pudina Hara or what are some of the other old Hingostak Churna, Lovan Bhaskar Churna for the Ayurvedic Walas. The best digestive aid, or no, what's the other one they, when they go to these people? They Kurpati Goli. So the best digestive is laughing. So Mother Mongol, that's why he's put right there. Krishna, why have a TV when you have Mother Mongol? So this is some of the setting. This is Krishna enjoying Sakyaras. Now that's going on in this Nanda Baba end of breakfast time in the dining room, the royal dining room of the royal palace. Nanda Maharaj didn't have some house in Gari. This is called Gari, the place across in Gari. Big houses, no? It's called slums, no? The dumps. So he had 50 rooms in his palace. And every room had a 45-foot ceiling. Well, let's say feet, you don't know feet. 20 meters. 15 meters. 15 meter, from floor to ceiling. One room dressing room, one room for clothing, Radharani's clothing, one room for Krishna, one room for Yashoda, Nanda, because sometimes when it was Krishna's birthday party, they would send out invitations. So they would send an invitation to Vrishabhanu, Radharani's father, and Radharani, and they would come and stay for 3 or 4 days. Every year for Krishna's birthday party. And it was a real bash. It was a real party. 4-day birthday party. I mean, God's not small time. No? We call it Janmastami. And we stay up till midnight and don't eat anything and starve all day. And then bathe Krishna. But in Nandagram, it's 4 days of feasting and music and dancing. And Krishna, and you know where Krishna's bedroom was placed? Just coincidentally, right next to Radharani's bedroom. This is very interesting architecture. 50 rooms, so one is a dining room. So Mother Yashoda is there, his mother, and she's supervising everything and is serving, and she's cooked so many things along with Krishna's aunt, Rohini. And there, but the primary, the all-star cooks are Radharani and all her sakis and mandris. And they're cooking on 100 stoves. 100 chula. Ekso chula. Yes? Ekso chula. 100 stoves. Wood-burning stoves. And so many wonderful things they're making. So Mother Yashoda, she's so much interested in seeing that Krishna eats a lot. And then when he's eating, he's kind of sometimes playing with his food, and there's reasons for that. And she's, oh Lala, please eat this. This is very nice. Try this. Oh, try some of this. This is nice. Rohini made this. And so she's interacting with him, showing her parental, her motherly love, her care, her affection, her mood of she wants him to be healthy, and like any mother and son, daughter, children should be healthy and eat sufficiently and nicely. And so there's an exchange. Oh, mother, you know, I had so much. No, please, Torasab. Little more. Okay. So then he's interacting very sweetly and lovingly with his mother in Vatsalya Ras. This is parental love. But what this verse will tell us about is about his exchanges with Radharani. His parakiya bhav, belonging to another. We say paramor. Amor means love, no? Amor. Para means additional or extra or beyond. A lover beyond this lover. Paramor lover. So this is madhurya ras. And how do Radharani and Krishna interact when Radharani is in Nanda Bhavan? That is the subject of this verse. What are the feelings? What are the causes of those feelings? How do they exchange? So we'll hear about that tomorrow. Hare Krishna. So just try to imagine what that's going to be. And try not to go to sleep thinking of Madhu Mangal stealing Krishna's galabjam. Sri Radha Rastudanidhi Ki Jai.